and welcome to the next episode of the Radio Nasties podcast with me, Vic, and as usual, Richard.
Sure was a mighty fine horse red last night.
Is that what we were doing last night?
Yeah.
Social distance.
I was distancing this gentleman from his limbs.
Oh, right. Okay. So you murdered someone, is what you're saying, last night?
I mean, technically, the horses murdered him. I just didn't stop. I mean, how am I supposed to stop four horses?
You had four horses?
Well, yeah, one for each limb.
How did you ride them all off in different directions?
I didn't ride them. I was the guy was already tied up to the horses, and I just watched.
Oh, fair enough. Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. This is what Richard does in the social hours.
Well, there's not really much entertainment going about right now, so...
I mean, I suppose you're right, yeah. Although, it's not a bit worrying that you find that entertaining.
Just a thought, I could have watched this week's film instead. I mean, I could have watched the film we're about to talk about instead of watching a man be quartered by horses.
Yeah, you could have really, yeah.
My bad.
But, you know, swings and roundabouts, I guess, as long as you got something from it. So yeah, today we are covering 2012's Grabbers, which is a, like, horror comedy monster movie from Ireland, which gives this film a lot of charm. So, shall we just jump right into it?
Yeah, let's go for it.
So, it opens up with, like, kind of meteor into Earth, kind of, you know, very reminiscent of Things opening.
I was just about to say that. It's very reminiscent of a film that you're quite fond of.
So, yeah, it heads for Earth, and there's this kind of...
You know what the funny thing is? I think this film has better CGI than the CGI version of The Thing.
It's not fucking hard.
And that was a high-budget movie.
Jesus. Yeah, because they used fucking half the budget on proper practical effects, and then halfway through, the studio was like, oh, no, actually, now we'll go with CGI. It's like, what? What do you mean we'll go with CGI?
We've already done the legwork.
Yeah, but, I mean, you do realise what the original Thing's, you know, known for. What? The practical effects. Yeah, but we're going to do the CGI. This is going to be
Orford Brimley.
This is going to be the cult classic, Jeremy. All right? Don't question the studio. Just change it into CGI. Some poor fuckers just done, like, you know, thousands and thousands of hours on practical effects. And it's like, no, we're not going to use you now. Oh, like, did they get paid in full? They're like, well, you've done the work, but, you know, don't really need it now. Slave labour!
Legends say if you stay quiet enough, you can hear John Carpenter weeping.
God, can you imagine being him watching this? Can you imagine if he thought it was good? Oh, no, I loved it. I thought it was great.
Well, better than mine.
Yeah. Oh, can you imagine John Carpenter saying, well, better? Well, better than mine.
Apparently there's, like, petitions to get, like, the practical cut released.
Yeah, I think there's been several.
Yeah. I always used to say, like, what's the point of all these fucking, oh, release this version of the cut, and then they actually decide, yeah, we will release the Snyder cut. So I'm like, yeah, go for it, you know?
How long is that cut supposed to be?
Apparently it's only, like 4 hours.
Oh, my God. Are you being serious?
Yeah, yeah. I think they've basically said they're going to release it as a mini series as opposed to like a full length movie.
Jesus.
Funnily enough, Ari Aster's just come out and said that his next film's going to be a 4 hour long dark comedy.
Oh, dear.
I'll watch it.
Oh, dear.
Over time.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose you could pull it off. I guess. I'm sure you've got some hopes for him anyway. You've seen both his films, haven't you?
Yeah. They're both all right.
Yeah, they're both all right. So the meteor heads to Earth, and there's this, like, fishing trawler boat, like, you know, in the middle of the sea or whatever. And, you know, the guy spots the meteor hit the ocean. And they basically go and, like, I think they go and search for it because one of them says, oh, you know, he calls it in, doesn't he? And he's like, oh, I think it was a flare.
Yeah.
And the other guy's like, it wasn't a fucking flare, I'm telling you. So that they go and search for this, like, meteor thing. They're all kind of, like, just picked off by this unknown thing. Like, I think some guy picks it up out of the water or something.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
They shout to him, don't they? And he's like, oh, Jesus Christ. Kind of like a Wicker
Man, yeah. Yeah.
So they all get kind of attacked by this creature and like killed off, and it goes into this like panning shot that shows you that the boat is very, very close to the shore. It's not very far away at all. So you're like, oh dear, gonna go over there.
So I think this like little opening scene was like probably one of my favorite, if not my favorite parts of the film.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know, it seemed to me like this scene was playing more like a traditional horror film.
Yeah.
And then when you get into the actual film, it's definitely more comedy than it is horror.
Yeah. It's more of a monster film as well, I'd say.
Yeah.
Although there are some freaky things in this film, to be honest with you. Like, obviously, including this scene. Another scene that we'll get into. But we're now introduced to our main characters, which is Kieran O'Shea. He's like a police
officer. He's a garter, isn't he? Garda, which is the Irish term for police.
Yeah, and he's like a kind of functioning alcoholic. Well, never mind, just an alcoholic.
Yeah, barely functioning.
Kind of like a typical Irishman, I guess.
Yeah, I guess by Irish standards, sure, like, he's not an alcoholic.
People, no, like surely like most people in this film probably drink like as much as he does. They're just singling this poor guy out. It's like, no, you're an alcoholic, mate.
You know you're fucking bad if an Irish person calls you an alcoholic.
Yeah.
But you need to put down the drink.
But our second main character shows up, who's Lisa Nolan. She's kind of like coming over to, I think the chief's going away on a holiday or something for a couple of weeks.
She's just like over. Temping on, because they live on like a little island, don't they? It's an island in Ireland.
Did you notice that the Erin Island sign was basically Amity Island's sign?
Yeah, very, very similar, yeah.
But yeah, so O'Shea picks up Lisa, and they're kind of like, they kind of butt heads straight away, don't they? Because she's kind of a Jobsworth.
Yeah, she's very professional, isn't she? Takes the job very, very seriously.
And he doesn't.
He doesn't give a flying fuck.
No, he's just...
But I think he's one of those people that don't really give a flying fuck because he doesn't need to. Because it's, you know, it's like the cops in Hot Fuzz. Because, like, yeah. Simon Pegg's character's very similar to Lisa. He's very, you know, by the book. And then they're just like, you really don't need to be here. Like, it's a quiet little fucking village.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that's the point, isn't it? Because I think there's a conversation that he has with the chief when he's like, you know, you didn't need to bring her over. And the chief's like, yes, but I fucking did have, didn't he? Like, kind of implying that he's too much of a drunk to hold the fort.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he picks her up, and we cut to another scene, and it's the... he ends up being the town doctor. It's Jim. And he goes out, like, basically on... It's kind of like this nice scene where he's, like, walking through the grass, like, taking his dog out for a walk. And then it kind of pans round on the beach. And there's, like, dead whales.
Like, everywhere. Like, yeah, the shore's like covered in them.
So O'Shea and Lisa, they reach the, you know, like kind of the police headquarters, and there's a funny scene here where he's like, he's making coffee for her. He's like, you know, do you want a coffee? And she says, yeah. I mean, he's like, milk. And she says, what kind? And he's like, cows. And then she asks for it black, and he pours like like 3/4 of it milk, and then gives it to her. And you're like, what a dick. She's got her own. She's got her own mug as well. Like, she brings her own like police mug with her.
It's I think it's like even got like Garda written on it, hasn't it? It's like fucking hell.
Yeah, because he gives it like a weird look, doesn't he? Yeah. So we see that the chief basically has that conversation that was on about where he's, you know, he's saying, you know, I'll only be gone for, you know, I think he's gone for like 3 weeks or something, and you know, he's like, you know, she's like, oh, I won't need the help, you know, it's all good. And then O'Shea comes over to him, and he's basically like, why did you have to do this? Like, literally nothing happens around here. I could have done this myself. And the chief's like, you're a fucking alcoholic, mate. I can't leave the island to you. Like, you'll probably just get pissed. Because it seems like everybody in this knows he's an alcoholic. Because there's even a radio call where he's kind of like ringing for help near the end of the film. And they're like, oh, did you run out of whiskey, O'Shea? And you're like, oh my God. That's horrible.
Yeah.
Like, cut him some fucking slack, man.
It's like, but I am a fucking police officer. Can you, like, at least pretend to respect me?
Yeah.
Please.
then we see there's a couple of fishermen. One of them turns out, you know, he's like one, ends up being one of the main characters of the film. It's Paddy, I think his name is.
Yeah,
he's
Paddy.
Hilarious. And he finds, like, they've got, obviously, they're collecting their traps to see what they've caught. I think they fish for lobster.
Yeah, they're using lobster cages because they pick one up and it's like, that's no fucking lobster.
I don't know what that accent was, mate.
Neither do I.
That was like... that was like northern.
It was like a horrible combination of the fucking jock Irish and northerner.
Yeah.
That's the accent of hell, that is. I think that's what the devil would sound like. That ain't no lobster.
even talking to him is torture. It's like, this is fucking awful.
Irish accents aren't my strong point.
I can hear, and everyone else will as well. But yeah, there's like this thing in the trap, and he's like, you know, it's obviously, you know, that's no fucking lobster. Like this, you know, that's weird. I think it sprays his mate in the face because his mate's like, oh, you knew it was going to do that. And he's like, I didn't, I swear. It's like, I don't think he knew that this thing was going to spit in your face.
Imagine he did know. Like, I think this alien creature might spit in my mate's face. This will be fucking hilarious.
Or maybe he was thinking, this alien creature is going to spit in my face.
I'll move it. Yeah.
But O'Shea and Lisa, they head to check out the beached whales, and Jim, the doctor's there. And the O'Shea says to the doctor at this point, he's like, oh, I've got a headache. Have you got any aspirin? And he's like, no, I've got some wine gums. Do you want some of them? And it's like, I don't know. Not really. No, I kind of want something that will help my... And to be fair, I'm a fucking alcoholic, Jim. I don't want to be hearing the word wine while I'm coming down from an alcoholic binge.
Imagine they didn't realise what wine gums were. It's like, wine in gum form? Yeah, pass it over, mate. Pass it over.
Yeah, I'm not getting drunk at all from these. This is ridiculous.
Well, there's no alcohol in them. Why the fuck are they called wine gums? You've lied to me, you have.
And they meet up with Adam Smith, which is another kind of main character. He's from Being Human, if you ever watched that.
Yeah, he was also in Him and Her, which was another little decent British comedy.
Oh, right, I've never seen that.
It's pretty decent. It was all right. There's a couple seasons of it.
But they, Adam's like kind of like a marine specialist or something.
You should watch it, mate, because I think it will just like make your life feel better, because the flat that they live in Him and Her, is abysmal.
Is it?
Yeah, it's the, if like you fit, like your flat looks like a mansion compared to this. But in their flat, it's, they've literally got a bedroom, a tiny kitchen, and a bathroom.
Really?
And I think it's just about a couple.
All right.
I don't think there's many episodes where they even leave their flat.
What, they're just in there?
Yeah.
I'll give it a watch. Him and Her.
Yeah.
But yeah, Adam basically says that, you know, these whales are pilot whales and they tend to do this. Like, they'll end up doing this. And he's like, you know, nobody knows why. And fucking O'Shea turns around and he's like, what, all at once? There's like fucking 50 of them here, mate. Like, they're going to all beach themselves at once. I think he says he thinks the wounds are from the rocks coming in or something.
Yeah, he says that they died at sea. And then, you know, by the time they were on the shore, they were already dead.
Which obviously is implied that the monster killed all these.
Now, like, did you understand this weird little hand joke that O'Shea was doing?
Yeah.
I didn't get it.
Did you not?
No.
It's because, like, most insects, like, when they die, they turn upside down. And his hand kind of resembles an insect. So he's like, this is a dead one of these. If you look at it, look at his hand, it looks kind of like a spider.
Okay.
And when insects die, they turn over, don't they?
Like, yeah.
Curl up. That's what you're saying. That's the joke. He's like, what's this? And it's just his hand, though, isn't it?
Yeah, he's got his hand out. It's like, what this? And then Lisa's like, oh, no.
I know.
It's,
and
it's
like,
it's a dead one of these. Like,
but
what?
It's how he has his hand.
Yeah, but I just don't know. I think that joke just went way over my head. I was like, what are you on about, you drunk bastard?
Yeah, so, like, O'Shea is me and you're Lisa.
Yeah.
You fucking Jobsworth cunt.
I am not a Jobsworth. I do the bare minimum to not get fired.
But they head to this work site. I think basically O'Shea's heading there to kind of ask a favour and get these guys to move the whales off. And there's a bit where Lisa walks in and these two guys see her and they whistle at her. And she's like, right, I'm not having this. You know, right, I want your name. And this guy turns out to be some Russian or Eastern European European guy, because he just rolls off this really long name and then she just puts a notepad away. And then they just sit back and I was like, that's hilarious. Like, how many times has he done that?
Yeah, that reminds me of an old Simpsons joke. It was one of the Treehouse of Horror episodes. And right. There's a bit where Chief Wiggum is like, I think he's arresting Homer or something. I think it's the episode where Homer gets the hair transplant and he's got like snake's hair and it makes right. him kill people. And
oh, like, yeah.
Chief Wiggum's like arresting him. He's like, you're under arrest for the murder of Moses, like, and Apoo Nahasa, just Mo. Well, yeah, because you've got Mo and then you've got Apoo Nahasa Puma Petlon.
Yeah.
Which is a name. Yeah, oh, so back when The Simpsons was good.
A long time ago, Richard.
I know. Probably going on 20 years since it's been good. How depressing is that?
Still going, though. Yeah. Maybe the Walking Dead will be that. Like in the future.
It's something like they're about to do like their 700th episode or something. Like, Jesus fucking Christ.
Are they just trying to get to 1,000 now, you reckon? Shall we?
I don't know. I generally don't know. I think The Simpsons will outlive us, personally.
Maybe it'll become live action. Can you imagine?
I feel like this will be the one show where it's like the voice actors will probably start dying.
Yeah.
So what are they going to do when
them off? That's how they end the show. Like, everyone just dies until there's nobody left. They just don't replace them. Everybody mourns the characters.
Mate, you joke, but there's rumors that Abe's going to die in the 700th episode. It's like, do we need this in The Simpsons?
Exactly. Like, I don't understand. Like, why has it been running this long? Never mind who's fucking dying now.
Anyway, back to the film.
Oh, my. But, yeah, so O'Shea and Lisa are looking for Declan Kuna. I don't know if you heard him at this point, but the guy they're looking for is talking to this other guy, and he's like, put that cigarette out or I'll use the tip of your knob as an ashtray. I was like, that's strange.
That's an odd threat, isn't it?
How are you going to get him to do that? Like, just get your dick out, mate. I need to use it as an ashtray. I don't know. I don't know about this.
What you've police got, brutality.
I'm your boss. While this is happening, Paddy, we see that Paddy's taken home, you know, the trap with the monster in it. He puts it in the bathtub, which becomes important later on. So O'Shea hires Declan to get the whales off. And while they're doing that, one of his men, like, they're all packing up their stuff. I think one of his men leaves the shovels or something. So Declan's like, you know, go back and get the fucking shovels. And when he goes back, he finds some eggs in the sand.
So yeah, they're a bit like tadpole eggs, aren't they? They're very squishy looking. They're not like a solid shell.
And you can kind of, you know, obviously you can see the thing moving.
Yeah, inside. Yeah.
But he kind of, you know, he picks up one of the eggs, then he like instantly gets dragged off into the sea, which is pretty grim. Like, imagine just getting dragged like down the beach. Like, oh my God. Like, knowing the water's eventually coming, you're just like, well, I'm about to die.
In all fairness, mate, you've been dragged to hell.
I mean, true, but I think I'd rather get dragged back to there than dragged to the sea.
At least I mean, I
can't die.
Well, I mean, you didn't know that the first time.
The first time, no, but now, I haven't been dragged to the sea very often.
Very often. Once or twice.
But yeah, so he gets dragged away, and Declan kind of goes off to check for him. He's just, you know, he's standing there, you know, shouting. And then it kind of cuts away, and it's O'Shea drinking in the pub. And I think Lisa comes down to get, like, an iron or something. And this sparks up a conversation with the landlords. Brian and Una, I think her name is. It's a weird
name. Yeah, I never caught the name. I quite like the male bartender.
I like the relationship between him and his wife. Like, they're just kind of, like, putting up with each other. It's hilarious.
Yeah,
it's when she thinks that he's you know, doing a birthday party for her, and he's like, oh fuck's sake, you know, now she's gonna think this was for her. But they kind of notice that obviously there's a, like, Lisa's kind of giving O'Shea the eyes, and Paddy's there as well. Paddy's basically, you know, he's like, oh, do you want to hear, you know, I've got some news. And he's kind of like saying it in a way that he wants O'Shea to ask for the news. And O'Shea and Brian, the bartender, are just standing there, like, looking at him, like, nah, I'm done with your shit. And he's like, no, you'd want to know what I want to know. And he's like, why would I? And he's like, well, if you were to know what I know, you'd want to know. And it's like, that is the most Irish thing I've ever heard someone say. If you were to know, then you would know that you'd want to know. Yeah, I mean, I guess it makes sense in a very roundabout way.
Yeah, it's like, if you have to put that much thought into what the sentence means, you haven't really explained your point very well. Because there's another point where Lisa says something very similar to O'Shea.
Right.
And she says something like, you think that I think that you know that you fancy me. And like, what?
Yeah, that's when she's pissed. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But basically, Paddy's like, you know, I caught myself a sea monster. And obviously, O'Shea and Brian are like, oh, fuck off.
You know, yeah, it's like, yeah, of course you have. Yeah, of course you have, mate. Whatever.
Yeah. And when, like, O'Shea's walking away, he's like, Paddy's like, you ignorant bastard. And O'Shea's like, what did you say? And he's like, oh, no, nothing at all. Nothing at all. And then Brian's like, he said that you're an ignorant bastard. And he's like, if this wasn't the only bar on the island, I'd piss in it sooner than drinking it. And he's like, well, right, that's fine.
Yeah.
You're barred. Yeah. And he's like, no, I'm only joking. It's like, I get the feeling that he does this like regularly.
He just seems like the troubled drunk.
Yeah. Brian just like looks at him every time in this film, just like, I'm done with your shit.
Yeah.
I'm sick of you.
If this is Ireland, right, and it's the only pub on the island, they must be fucking rolling in it.
Yeah. Everybody will be drinking in there. Like, literally the whole lot. Although it seems like everybody in the island is only like 50 people or something.
Yeah. It doesn't seem, because even when they literally call everybody on the island, so like, there's like, what, two dozen people. Like,
yeah.
This is the island?
Yeah.
How does this work?
We just live here for a cult. Maybe that's the twist of the story. It turns out that the whole island was actually a cult.
Is this a fucking prequel to The Wicker Man? Turns out it's Summer Isle.
So we see now there's a couple at home, and the husband is watching Night of the Living Dead.
Yep.
It's the bit when he's like...
They're coming to get you, Barbara. Oh, I love that scene. I love that movie.
And the wife's kind of upstairs drying her hair or something. And somebody knocks on the door. And this bit, fucking... The first time I watched this, I was like, that's pretty fucked up. That's freaky.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping there'd be more moments like this in the film. Because this was, like, pretty, like you say, it's, like, pretty fucking...
It's grim.
Grim,
it's
yeah.
Like, it's really, like, eerie. Because basically what happens, the guy, you know, somebody knocks on the door. And, you know, this guy got... I think this guy is the mate of Paddy, you know, the one that got spit in the face. Yeah, he basically, like, looks through the peephole and he's like, oh, it's fucking Declan, and he's pissed. And, you know, she's like, well, don't let him inside, but just go and see what he wants. And they open up... Well, he opens up the door. And Declan's, like, hanging there, like, with his hands in the air. It looks like he's, like, hanging on a wire or something. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. But it shows, like, the creatures have got, like, some sort of level of intelligence. They're not just... mindless monsters.
No.
It's like they can fuck with you.
The kind of like the last kind of chase scene, there's quite a bit of that.
Yeah.
Intelligence shown in the final bit, but we'll get to that. So what it is, it's Declan's like essentially being puppeteered by this fucking monster. And it's like when you, because obviously like the first time you watch it, you kind of like, what the fuck? Like what's up with him? Like what is he doing? And then it kind of pans down. It shows you his feet. And it shows you that, like, he's kind of, like, not really... He's only kind of just touching the floor. And, it looks like he's been, like... And then you kind of realise, you're like, oh, my God, he's fucking... Something's making him do this. Like, that is fucking great. And it's weird as well, because, like, Declan's obviously dead. He's just got, like, this proper death stare with, like, his mouth open. It just looks grim.
You'd think he'd look at him, like, straight up, like, well, he's fucking dead. Look at him. That's the face of fucking death.
But it's funny because, like, they obviously, like, reference it, like, to be why he wouldn't straight away go, what the fuck? Like, maybe Declan has come around his house and fucking looked like this before. Like,
yeah, I suppose, yeah.
Apart again. Like, he's you know, because even the
he's,
wife...
He's doing
like,
his dead face again.
Yeah, like, even the wife was kind of like, you know, don't let him inside this time. And it's like, oh, so he's obviously like...
Yeah, there's a story to tell there, isn't there?
Yeah. But the husband, like, it kind of drops Declan, and the husband kind of goes out. He's like, you know, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, and then he just gets, like, impaled by this, like, tendril kind of thing, and then, like, dragged up into the rooftop. And the wife kind of, you know, goes mental. She's like, you know, what the fuck is going on? She can hear him screaming all over the house. And it's quite a tense moment, because she's, like, running around, and she's literally locking, like, every door and every window, and you're like, you know, she, obviously you kind of, the camera's kind of following her around, and you're like, it's pretty tense, because like this thing's just gonna like pop through one of these fucking windows, isn't it? But it doesn't. And another, you know, sign that it's kind of like used intelligence is the things on the roof. So what it does is it starts like rattling around in the, you know, like the chimney sweep, like in the underneath the fucking fireplace. So obviously she runs, and they've got kind of like a little compartment that you can close. And she's trying to close that, and as soon as she tries to close it, it like drags her through this like really small hole, and it just like crunches her up. It's like, oh, you're dead, up the chimney. So we get a little scene now where O'Shea goes to, he kind of goes to Lisa.
Yeah, he's trying to invite her down to the bar, isn't he? Yeah.
Yeah, and he's like fucked, like really drunk. And you know, they obviously kind of have this moment where she's like, you know, is this you every night? And he's like, oh yeah, no, it's just sometimes. I think he makes a joke. He says like only on holidays and weekends or something like that. But she ends up, you know, having to kind of just go and put him to bed. Because she's like, you're fucked. I can't come down to the bar. Because like, you can't. I don't think you can get down to the bar now.
Well, yeah, she's doing a whole, you know, jobs worth stuff. Like, you know, well, we're working tomorrow. I'm not going to go and get fucking pissed with you.
Yeah, well, she says, doesn't she? She's like, I hope you're not driving home. And he's like, no, I'm taking the horse. The
horse, yeah.
And she's like, oh, you're riding the horse drunk. And he's like, well,
the horse is sober, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, you've got a good point there, I suppose.
I'm not sure the legality of that. Can you ride a horse drunk?
I don't think you can, to be honest with you. I genuinely think I did read somewhere that there are laws against in some states, I guess. I mean, maybe not in Corby.
Like. well, that's probably why we have so many drunken horse riders around the town.
Yeah. Imagine if that was like an epidemic. Oh, just we're fucking the country's covered with drunken horse riders. Everyone's like, is it the horse that's drunk or the rider? Both. Oh my god.
No.
It's the apocalypse.
The riders are perfectly sober. It's the horses. Yeah. A fucking wankered.
It's just like a load of riders like getting like terrified on these horses that are just running wild because they're pissed. Like, help me, help me! I don't know why they're not sobering up. Like they haven't sobered up in a year. It's the drunk horse apocalypse. But Paddy goes home now, and he basically he goes into the bathtub to try and look at the monster. It's funny because he's got like this welding helmet on, which is hilarious. And he goes up, and you know this monster basically attacks him. It kind of like jumps straight onto his face. I think it like cuts his, it like spits at him and cuts his throat.
Yeah, because I originally thought like this was the end of the line for Paddy. It was like, oh. Well, he's dead, but
yeah,
he's not.
It's, you know, this, which is a cool way they do this scene, because it does set up like obviously stuff later on. Because
yeah,
you know, he gets attacked, and this thing's like, you know, kind of eating him pretty much, like trying to get, it's like on his face, and he's trying to get it off.
Yeah, it's like fucking the face huggers, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's like this, what the thing looks like, it's kind of like just like a mass of tentacles, because they kind of like roll around and stuff, don't they? Like spring about.
Yeah, they're like a blob of tentacles with like a mouth like in the center. Yeah,
like a maw in the center. It's just like a big hole of teeth.
It just looks like a very stereotypical Lovecraftian tentacle creature.
Yeah, it's like, you know, like this is about, you know, probably about as far as they could go into that territory to make it, you know, as comedic as they wanted this film to be. It's like, I think it'd have been, if they went like, can you imagine if they'd done like a really horrific like monster, it's like
sort of like, you know, eldritch abominations or something.
Like
you've got the that, stuff from the void fucking...
Yeah, and everyone's just cracking jokes, and I'm like, have you seen that fucking thing over there? Don't be,
I mean, I kind of want to see that movie.
Yeah, just some guy crack, everybody but one guy is cracking jokes, and this guy is just like,
can we just be serious for 1 minute?
Hey, yeah, we're all gonna die. Jeremy just got pulled through that window just then. You made a joke about it. Portals
coming out of nowhere. This is terrifying.
There'll be a portal coming out of your mum. Oh, for fuck's sake, Bob.
What is that 50-foot fucking creature?
But yeah, so the thing's kind of like eating his face, and then it kind of just like falls off, and he kind of kicks it to death. He's just like pummeling it. I mean, you would. He just starts like stomping it, doesn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
So there's a little scene with Lisa and Una here, where they basically set up that there's a storm coming, to the island. And, you know, I think Lisa makes a joke where she's like, oh, did you read that in the stars or something? And then Una's just like...
So, no, I just saw it on the weather.
Saw it on TV. Like, what are you on about? Are you trying to imply that we're weird?
Yeah. But she's like sort of trying to wingman O'Shea at this point, isn't she?
Yeah.
Because she's like, oh, you know, if you want to upgrade your room, we've got the honeymoon suite with the double bed.
Yeah, but then she's like, after that, she's like, oh, and by the way, next week, we've got like a whole rugby team coming in. So, you know, if you want to upgrade them to a double bed, it's like, are you implying that I'm going to fuck the rugby team?
Like, well, if you don't, I will.
Yeah, look, yeah. She was like, well, no, I'm going to have some of them. I mean, you're not having all of them, you greedy bitch. I'm already giving you a better room. You're not having all the cock. So I don't want to be here anymore. I don't want to be here. But she says that O'Shea's widowed at this point.
Yeah. But why?
I don't know. I don't know if maybe, like, he is, and he just doesn't like...
See, I don't think he is. The only thing I think is, like, she's trying to help, like, play the sympathy card. Like, oh, his wife's dead, so you should probably fuck him.
Oh, yeah, this is going to work. What's my plan here? How am I going to get her attracted to him? Oh, yeah, that's it. His wife's
dead
died.
Wife.
Do you want to fuck him?
Funnily enough, dead wife's is my kink. I will screw him. Thank you, fine barmaid. Yeah.
But Lisa goes and she goes and collects O'Shea, and we, you know, we see that she's put him in one of the cells at the police and you know, at the police station, and he's kind of like, you know,
so yeah, was like, did you fucking arrest me? It's like, well, yeah, I don't know, like, where you live.
Yeah, I put you here. Didn't arrest you, really. I bet you she did. I bet you she did know where he lived. She's like, I'm arresting this cunt. He's not breaking the law.
I would have, like, fucked her. I said, well, did you read me my rights when you arrested me? What? He didn't? Yeah. Oh, got a hefty
to be fair, she
court
could
case coming on
like,
there.
Well, yeah, I did.
She probably did, yeah.
But they meet up with Paddy and Adam now to look at the creature. I think Paddy's already brought in the creature to Adam at this point, because they come in. O'Shea and Lisa come in. Basically,
well, yeah, because Paddy's like, going up on like, oh, I get like a reward for this, right? Like a finder's fee. Yeah, you need to check with the board of Lovecraftian creatures.
You found him in the sea. Who knew that we wanted him found? I don't think we did, Paddy. I don't think we did want
there's
him found.
There's got to be someone looking. Just think there's just signs like wanted Lovecraftian entities. Call number below.
Fucking Cthulhu's ringing up like, oh, I've got a few I can send over if you want. If the price is right.
What is the price? Eternal damnation? No, I can't stretch to that, mate. Sorry.
Yeah. But Paddy's also like, he's like, it's a grabber. I discovered it. So I name it.
Smith's not really happy with it, is he?
Yeah, he's kind of like, we're not calling it a grabber.
Yeah, because he just wanted, oh, you know, you've got to like name it after its properties and stuff. So he probably wanted to give it some pretentious Latin name.
Yeah, Adam cracks me up for some reason. This Smith guy, like, don't know what it is. I think it's because he's so it's the bit, you know, the bit later on when he's like, we need more alcohol, and you're like, oh, that's hilarious. He's so posh, but basically. You know, Adam turns around. He's kind of like, I don't know what this is. He even makes a comment. He's like, it's completely alien. And everyone kind of gives him this look. And he's like, oh, no. I mean, like, in that it's not been documented. I don't mean it's come from space.
And funnily like, enough, it has. Yeah.
It did.
But Smith's managed to work out that it's female. And they're like, how do you know that? And he's like, it's Paddy's got no like, testicles.
Well, it's funny because Paddy just turns around like really shocked. And he's like, how do you know? And he's like, well, it's got no testicles.
And it's
then
pregnant.
Paddy's just like, oh, looks, that's about right. It's pregnant as well, which obviously is lovely. I wonder if they're going to give it a baby shower. But he shows that, he says, you know, look what happens when I go to clean it. And when he puts like water on it, it seems like, because this kind of grabber thing is pretty fucked. It looks like...
Yeah, well, they thought it was dead,
like,
didn't they?
Out. And he puts, like, you know, he kind of cleans it a little bit. And the flesh, like, where he cleans it, it kind of...
Rejuvenates.
Back. Yeah, yeah. And he shows, like, the tongue of it as well. And he's like, you know, this sucks the blood. And he's like, all these things need is blood and water. That's it. And I think even Paddy says something. He's like, they're like, you know, how did it get around... outside or something, and he's like, oh, well, it's been raining. And he's like, if when it's been raining, there's no dry ground. And it's like, oh, that makes sense as well. So while O'Shea and Lisa are driving back, they basically spot Declan's car that he left on the beach,
Yeah, they notice like the lights are still on, don't they?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they go and they basically, I think they kind of like essentially like follow the trail back because they've kind of done the same thing as the creature did. Like obviously the creature came up on the beach, took Declan, and then I'm assuming it's gone to the nearest house, which is what that couple's house was. And they kind of like retraced, because at first I was like, how do they know that this couple like, I was like from this. And then I was like, oh, they probably went like, well, if his car's here, Declan's obviously walked to the nearest place, so that's where they've went. I was like, makes sense. But while they're investigating the couple's house, Lisa, like, I can't remember why she goes onto the fucking, oh yeah, she spots the fabric hanging from the chimney, and she kind of, she goes up and she pulls it down, and fucking the husband's head comes out of it and hits O'Shea straight in the face. It's hilarious. It just like rolls down, bounces, and then hits him square in the face. And she's just like, it's a head. And it's like, you didn't get fucking hit in the face by it.
Imagine getting hit in the head by a head.
Exactly. Yeah. So this is ridiculous. But we get a great bit now, because they take it to Jim, the doctor. And, you know, they're kind of like, you know, what's wrong with, you know, what's happened? And he's like, you know, if you bring me someone with like a head cold or something like that, you know, I could probably figure out. And he's like, but if you're just bringing me a head, you're taking the piss. And it's like, this is great. He is great. Like,
I mean, he's right. But what
if he was my doctor, though, that would be fucking incredible. Like, you'd just be like, well, I mean, I don't know. Like, you're taking the piss.
I mean, do you often take severed heads to your doctor, Vic?
Yeah, most of
them. But you're taking the piss now.
Yeah, I'm just like, yeah. Not the first time. They're like, oh, cheers. But after a while, they were like, no, you take the piss. Too many of these now. We can't.
Where are you getting these heads from? Not murder, right? Because I thought it was murder, but I'm glad you clarified that it's not murder.
It's definitely not murder. It's definitely not.
Right. Okay. I won't call the police then. Yeah. Don't do that. Don't do that. Definitely don't tell them to check my house. Right. Okay.
I've murdered people.
Yeah. I'd gather that. I'm just trying to stay calm so you don't murder me.
Even though I have told you, you know, can you keep it to yourself? Could you do that? Could you do me a solid?
As long as it's not my head, you know.
Well, I mean, to be honest, like if you don't agree to this, like I'm probably going to chop your head off. If I'm honest.
Okay. But if you cut my head off, which doctor are you going to bring the heads to?
They'll replace you.
Unless I've already killed them. I have took many heads.
She turns around. Oh, I didn't realize the whole office was headless. Like everyone's in their chairs, just with no heads.
Headless Tuesday. I didn't get the memo.
She just chops up her. Well, I guess I'll join in.
Peer pressure.
Oh, fucking hell!
Like, you fucking bitch, you've took away my satisfaction of lobbing your head off.
Yeah. So, you know, Jim's kind of like, you know, it looks like something's mauled it. That's all I can tell from this severed head. And then Paddy turns up, and he takes him back to his house because the fucking monster has like dragged his bath through his wall. And it's funny because Paddy brings him over and he's like, where am I going to take a bath now? And it's like, that's what you're worried about, mate. You've just had an alien or whatever the fuck it is pick up your bath and throw it through a wall.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, where am I going to wash myself? It's like,
I mean, at least he cares about his personal hygiene.
He doesn't look like he does he? Like, that's what I thought when he said it. And I was like, you look filthy.
Like, do you honestly bathe that much?
Yeah.
But you've only got four teeth.
I mean, he obviously hasn't bathed in the last couple of days because he's had a fucking monster in his bathtub. So, I mean, where's he been washing then, you cheeky Irish bastard?
He's just doing that as an excuse. Like, I'd love to have a wash, but, you know, a monster destroyed my bath. I mean, you can borrow my shower if you... No, I wouldn't want to impose. Please, you stink.
But they basically kind of like figure out that, you know, there's obviously more than one of these things. Cause you know, this has happened. And then they've got the one that Paddy had in, you know, cause that's the one that's in with Adam.
Yeah.
So obviously this one that smashed the fucking wall, they're like, well, obviously this one's come looking for the other one, found the scent and, you know, destroyed your fucking wall and your bath. And I think they look on a map and they're basically like, you know, it's all happened within this area. So like, where would be a nice wet place for something to live? And I think they come to the conclusion that there's a cave nearby that would hide it. And while they're going there, it's funny because I don't know if you noticed, but Paddy like has this like kind of half-hearted comment about climate control and global warming, because he's kind of like, you know, the ice caps are melting and all this, and he's like, the whole world's flooding and we ain't got the gills. And it's like, I mean, that's, it's very profound, Paddy, but I mean, where did it come from?
Yeah, he's not the sort of person you'd expect this sort of...
No, I mean, I'm quite proud of Paddy, because I'm like, I called him, you know, before this, I was like, you filthy fucking bastard. And then he comes out with something like this, and I was like, well, fair enough, I suppose, as long as you care about the right things. You don't care about, you know, your hygiene, but saying that, he's a fisherman, so he's probably adding to it, I guess, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, it's not really helping the problem.
But they investigate the cave now. Paddy stays outside, and O'Shea and Lisa, they find like rags, like from fishermen clothes, and Paddy finds some more eggs outside. And I think they're like, him and Lisa are like kind of like fucking around like with each other, and he just, you know, she's like, oh, I don't think there's anybody here, and he just starts shouting, and then because he's shouting, the big fucking grabber like comes out of the cave.
Yeah, and it's like the first time you get like a proper look at it.
Yeah, and it's like huge. It's like a giant mass of tentacles.
And to be fair, it looks pretty decent. Like the CGI on it's like not bad.
Yeah, like a lot. I think a lot of the CGI in this film is good. Like it's not,
because
like,
it's the sort of film. No, but it's the sort of film you'd forgive for having poor CG. So I don't imagine it's got like a huge budget, but.
No, and it has better than some. Do you know what
yeah,
I mean? Like,
yeah.
I've seen higher budgeted films with worse CGI than this.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
It all looks pretty decent. So they basically run away, and this is the point where they try to call for help on the radio, and that's where the guy is like, you know, oh, have you run out of whiskey, O'Shea? And he's like, no, we've actually got like a bit of a problem here. And he's like, well, I'm not sending anybody out until the morning because we've got the big storm coming. So they're like, fuck, we need to basically hold out, you know, the night. So they go to Adams, and I think this is the point where O'Shea tries to like burn the fucking
grabber. Yeah, they come and like douse it in like
he petrol. Storms in, and he's like, you know, we need to get rid of these. This is drawing, because I think obviously they figure out the female's drawing the male. He comes in, douses it with gasoline, and obviously Adams like,
slow the fuck down.
Like, you can't do this. And then as he lights it up and puts it down, he's like, you can't do this because it will set the sprinklers off.
Yeah.
And it's funny because Adam turns around and he's like, you really are Irish. And I was like, that is hilarious.
Yeah.
So this, you know, the fucking, they basically race to like turn the water off, like under the sink. And, you know, this fucking grab has like been properly doused now with water.
Yeah, so it's like kind of like proper back in action now, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's kind of motionless at first, and they're kind of like, you know, walking towards it. And it's funny because Adam like grabs a chair, and it's like, what are you going to do with it, mate? Like, what are you going to do with the chair? You know, the grabber fucking obviously pops up, attacks, and it jumps, and it jumps onto O'Shea, the same kind of way it did with Paddy. And then all of a sudden, like, it's, you know, it's attacking him and they're trying to fight it off. And, you know, all of a sudden it just comes off and just dies, like, seemingly does, like, because it kind of like coughs up and like chokes, it gurgles and shit, doesn't it? When they get poisoned. And it's great though, because like they all like instantly start kicking the fuck out of it. They're all just like stomping on it. And they stomp the fuck out of it. And Adam kind of, you know, once they've stopped, Adam kind of turns around and, you know, he's like, you know, there goes the scientific discovery of our time. Like,
yeah, and then it's...
You know, think what we could have learned. And he's like, it's still moving.
And then they immediately start beating the fucking shit out of it again.
The best of it is, like, you can't blame him in the slightest. You'd be like, yep,
no.
I would do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But basically they figure out that, because O'Shea kind of turns around to Paddy and he's like, how the fuck are you still alive? And Paddy's like, what do you mean? And Paddy turns around at first and he's like, oh, you know, my diet and exercise. And it's like, you don't do either of them, Paddy.
Yeah. Yeah.
They even say like, you know, what have you eaten? And he's like, well, I had some crisps and a packet of chips yesterday. And it's like, oh. And then obviously O'Shea clicks and he's like, you were fucking drunk when it attacked you. So they realize that these grabbers are, you know, they're poisoned by alcohol, like literally kills them if they get too much of it. Kind of like the gremlins with sunlight, I guess. It's just like, don't be fucking getting it.
That gremlins would be a different fucking movie if they had the same weakness. It's like, we've just got to get them fucking pissed.
Well, yeah, because the gremlins are really
would have destroyed the bar scene. Oh, they're all dead.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, can you imagine? They're just all pissed. Oh, Never mind. Mass grave now. Mass grave of gremlins.
Love sure it. Is a lot of pus.
Oh my god.
That's what she said.
Oh no. Oh, that one's even too much for me, I think. Whoa.
That's what she said?
Oh. Right, moving on from the pus.
She said.
They decide to have like a lock-in, like a mass lock-in. They basically say, right, we'll get the whole town together and wait in there till morning. And they basically, what they've got to do is they've obviously got to get Brian on the side, the bartender.
Yeah.
So they go around to him and they take like a part of the grabber with them. You know, like they take like, it's like they've chopped the tentacles off or something. Do you know what I mean? They've got it like in a box where it's just like the head. It's still moving about. And they show it to Brian. And Brian's like, you know, you could kill that with a hammer. But it's like, you could, fucking hell. Like, I mean, to be honest with you, if someone brought that in, like, imagine if someone brought that into Asda. Like, look at this. I think I'd be like, fucking hell, what is that? Not like, oh, that's a piece of shit. Like, you kill that with a hammer. Like, well, maybe you could, but look at it. You'd be like, what the? I'd be like, what the fuck is that?
But even
that?
Then, you'd be like, yeah, like maybe that one, but the one we've just seen, mate, you ain't got a hammer big enough for that fucking bastard.
Yeah, and then Brian's, you know, kind of looking at it as if like, you know, no, I see them every Saturday night. They're always in here. It's like, I don't think you do, mate.
Imagine he had. So like, yeah, you know, I fight off Lovecraftian entities all the time. Found Cthulhu last weekend.
The Adventures of Brian the Bartender. I'd watch that. This is the part we were talking about earlier where Una comes in and she's like, you know, what's going on? And they're all
Yeah, because
like,
she just sees them all like huddled together, doesn't she?
Yeah. And Brian's like, no, it's nothing. And O'Shea kind of turns around. She's like, what are you plotting? And he's like, no, we're just planning something. And she kind of obviously like gives him a sly grin because she's like, oh, okay, I'll leave you to it. And poor fucking poor Brian turns around and he's like, you know, great. It's her birthday next month. And now she thinks this is something for her. And it's like, oh, what a great marriage you have. He's like,
oh, I've got to buy her a gift now. Great.
Yeah. So Brian obviously comes around. O'Shea decides to be the one that's going to stay sober to keep an eye on everybody. He's like, you know, somebody has to stay. So
yeah, just to like organize everything, really.
Yeah, which is O'Shea's kind of arc in this film, I guess. Like he's learning not to be an alcoholic while surrounded by alcoholics.
He's really chucked out in the deep end. Like, I'm not drinking anymore, but I am going to hang around all these drunks.
Yeah. So Lisa basically turns around. She's like, you know, I've got something to tell you. Like, she goes, I don't know how to be drunk. I don't think anybody does, mate. I don't think that's how it works.
Yeah, no one's mastered it yet.
I think you just go with it. You're like, well, I'm on the roller coaster now. I don't think anybody's like, well, I've mastered this. I'm not drunk. And if I am, I'm still not.
Imagine how much better a place the world would be if we could all master being drunk.
Yeah, can you imagine? Just no violence at all.
Yeah.
People would start killing each other, though, because everyone was being too nice to each other. They'd be like, I'm fucking sick of this.
You're too fucking nice, you cunt.
Yeah, stop whistling, you bastard. So Lisa basically says, you know, she's like, I've never drank before. And O'Shea's like, right, well, let's get on it. And it kind of cuts. And Lisa's like fucking rat-arsed.
Yeah, she's had like several pints by this point, hasn't she?
She is off her tits. The actress does a really
good job, she plays a good drunk. It's very convincing.
Like, yeah, like because there genuinely is like a lot of drunks in films where I'm like, you just sound silly.
Yeah, it's like they're just slurring their speech. It's like, have you ever consumed alcohol?
Yeah.
But maybe like, she is like, actually just drunk. Like, I'm a method actor. I'll get pissed. But you just want an excuse to drink on the job, don't you?
Like the scene in Jaws where they were like, can we just drink? Like the bit in the boat where they're just like, can we just drink? And it's like, yeah, go on.
I mean, we are going to fight a massive shark.
But you aren't Richard Dreyfuss. You aren't really, mate. What do you mean? What do you mean I'm not? You're not really fighting the shark, mate. You know we're on set.
Oh, of course.
On set.
Yeah.
Where's the shark? Well, we know where it is because we've got it. Oh, you've got it. We're tracking it. Richard, we're not. Oh, my God. Is he mental? I think he is a little bit. I think, because like, didn't Quint's actor like terrorize him on set? Maybe he just lost the plot and he's like, the shark's real.
It's going to get you.
But, you know, she's obviously fucking rat-ass. And then Paddy brings out like this fucking moonshine or something. Because Brian's like, oh, you bring that into my bar. And Paddy's like, you know, this will knock your fucking head off. And Lisa has like literally like a mouthful of it.
It's horrible. Like, you can smell it. Like, you know what that smells like. It's just, oh, just thinking about it, I can like imagine what it tastes like in my mouth. And I'm just like, bleh.
Well, it's funny because like you see two different people like try it in this film and they both have the same immediate reaction where it's just like, oh my God, my mouth is on fire.
Yeah, yeah. So, is this just pure alcohol?
Yeah, I think I'm going to die. Although you probably will. I didn't say you weren't going to. I mean, you are right. You didn't.
Yeah, this was my suicide drink.
So what they do is they basically do a fucking another like thing. And they, you know, from the thing, and they take like a, you know, some of her blood, and they put it in this pint glass, and they feed it to the, you know, the grabber head that they've got, and the grabber basically, you know, like drinks all the blood, and then like dies
instantly, like yeah, dies. It's like literally just like that gone.
And it's funny because Jim the doctor's there, and he's like, oh, he must have been a teetotaler, and it's like, oh, where have you been this whole film? Like, can you pop up more?
Yeah, amazing. Yeah, yeah.
So they test Lisa's, they breathalyze Lisa now, don't they? Because they
want to get her idea of how much they need to, yeah.
And I think it's like 0.2 or something.
Yeah, and they work out as well, they need 10 pints each, depending on weight.
Yeah, like Jim's like, fucking hell, well, that's a lot of booze. Like, we need a lot of booze for that. Especially for the whole town as well. All at once.
I think it shows how Irish this film is, that they just assume that everybody on this island's a drinker.
Yeah, it's great because they all are as well.
Yeah, there's nobody like, well, I don't drink. I mean, obviously the only person who doesn't drink is Lisa, but obviously she's in on the plan.
Yeah, the thing.
But obviously, well, everyone
they go
else
straight they to just... the church now, don't they?
Yeah.
And they're basically like, you know, we're going to have a big lock-in and we're going to have a crack and everything. And everybody's just like, why? Like, yeah. Why are we doing this? And then he's like, well, it's a free bar. And then
and everyone changes their mind. But yeah,
it's all right, like,
yeah,
what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because like, Lisa's away. Like stirring about and it's like, oh, it's a welcoming party for me. And it's like, you're leaving in 2 weeks. I was like, all right. it's a farewell party then. And she starts getting like fucking really arsy with most of them.
Well, it's Una in it that says it to her, and she and Lisa's like, what's her fucking problem?
Yeah,
like, fucking hell, calm her down. Calm her down now. So the storm begins now, just as the party's like getting into swing. And you know, we see kind of Lisa, Paddy, Jim, O'Shea, Brian, you know, all them lot, and they're getting weapons together.
This was one of my favourite scenes.
Is this the bit with Jim is fucking like genius. Like, Jim shows up and he's like, they're all like, you know, what weapons have you got? And Jim's like, I have a nail gun and a plank with a nail in it.
Yeah.
And you're like, he's so happy about it. He's like, I've got a plank.
It's like he's thought he's more of happy like the about... fucking best invention ever. Like, look at this.
But, yeah, no. But it's like he likes the plank of wood with a nail in it better than the actual fucking nail gun. It's like, yeah. I think you could do... Probably
it's like an Always Sunny when they give Charlie his fucking new rat basher.
Yeah. Paddy comes out with, like, you know, I've got a pellet gun.
With no like, pellets.
Yeah, well, they're like, what the fuck is that going to do? And he's like, well, shoot pellets. And he's like, but I haven't got any. And it's like, why did you bring it then?
And then, like, I think it's the bartender. He comes in and
Brian.
He looks like he's got, like, the best fucking idea, hasn't he? He's like, I've got a fucking, like, water gun. But, well, what's that going to fucking do? It's like, we put fucking petrol in it, turns it into a flamethrower. Does it? Because it was great. When I was watching it, I was like, I don't think that's going to work. And then he tries it later and it fucking doesn't.
No, it goes straight out. It's great. Oh, I was like, he's I've so never confident. Been,
I've, yeah, he he's... just thinks he's got it. Like, I'm on the
No, he's so confident. He's just like, no, I'm saving the day here.
So I've never been Brian more disappointed and glad with a scene at the same time. It's like, kind of wanted to see him using this water pistol as a flamethrower, but at the same time, it's brilliant that his master plan has fucking failed.
It's like everybody's master plan in this film fails.
Yeah.
They all get into their own issues. But O'Shea and Lisa, they go and sit in like the police car, and this is where they have that kind of, you know, that heart to heart kind of thing where she's like, I don't know what you said, where she's like, you know that I know that you know that I fancy you or something. whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah, it's like, you think I think you fancy me. I just can't, what? I don't, what?
Adam goes into the kitchen and he's kind of like fucking pissed already, isn't he? But he spots Paddy's...
the homebrew,
moonshine. Yeah. And Jim goes outside for a piss, which is like, it's hilarious because he's like, hold my beer, Paddy. I need to go for a piss. And he sees the line. And he's like, you know, what the fuck's happening here? And he's like, no, fuck this. I'm not waiting for this. I'm going to go outside and have a piss. And it's like, there's monsters outside. Like, literally,
yeah,
monsters outside, Jim.
It's like fucking Jurassic Park when he runs to the toilet. It's like, there's dinosaurs. But when you gotta go, you gotta go. You
gotta go. Lisa asks O'Shea why he drinks so much. And, you know, she basically says to him that, you know, she feels sorry for him because of his wife. And this is where he admits that his wife isn't dead.
Yeah, they're just divorced.
Is she? They've just like, she met someone else or something and left him. But I mean, I don't know. It's one part about the film I'm not sure about. I don't know if it's like supposed to be that he is and he's just not admitting it to her. I don't know. I just don't know why. It's just such a weird thing for someone to say about you, you know, if it wasn't true.
Yeah, like, it just seems like a bit of a pointless plot line, really.
But she basically, you know, she's pissed as a fart. And, you know, she's like, I feel like I've known you for years. I think, like, she says, like, you know, oh, you know, why don't you kiss me or something? And he's like, well, now's not the time. Like, you pissed and there's monsters running about, mate. Like, I think we'll have to do this later, to be honest. And we get a cool, like, kind of POV shot of a grabber, like, crawling towards Jim, because Jim's obviously having a piss. He kind of turns round, and there's, like, fucking 15 of the little ones, like, little baby ones. They're like little slug things. They're kind of like grabbers, just without tentacles, I guess.
Yeah, and, I guess this is, like, their first form before they grow up.
But Jim gets attacked, and O'Shea and Lisa, obviously, they come out trying to help him. And they fight off the baby ones, and fucking... It's funny, because O'Shea turns around, and he's like, Jesus, Jim. And he's like, you know, what were you doing? And he's like, well, I needed a piss. And it's like, what were you doing, Jim? Like, yeah, you needed a piss. Why did you come out here? Like, there's literally... I just don't... It's like, this man's a doctor.
I mean, it doesn't mean he's a good doctor. Like, he's the only doctor on an island. He take what you get.
But then the male grabber arrives, and it, unfortunately, it grabs poor Jim, takes him off, and it eats him, bits his head out. And Lisa has, like, the best reaction ever to this. Like, he gets, like, eaten, his head gets spit out, and Lisa literally just goes, fuck that, and runs away. It's like, yep, exactly what I do.
Yeah, so I'm not fucking sticking about in this.
So they get back into the car, and we get, you know, kind of like a Jurassic Park reference here, you know, where the grabber's kind of like on top of the car, and O'Shea kind of even does the whole, you know, the thing where they put their hands up to the ceiling, kind of like hold the ceiling. O'Shea even does that, and I'm like, ha, it's like a T-Rex. They turn the sirens on, and the sirens kind of like, you know, kind of like entrance the grabber for a bit. The grabber's kind of like, what the fuck? Like, what is this? Which gives them, you know, time to get out and get back into the bar. And as they come in, Adam wakes up, and Brian comes in with the water gun. And Brian's like on a mad one now, because he's just screaming everything.
He's fucking like, Rambo.
Smith! The lighter, light me, and you're like, Jesus Christ! It's great because there's this like little fumble with him and him and Smith, where they're both like really pissed, and like Adam's trying to light the fuse, the thing on the water pistol, and Brian's trying to hold it steady, and they both have to like lie on the ground, so they can get close enough to each other to actually do it. It's hilarious. They're just like. That's exactly what it'd be like. There's time, you know, where I've tried to do stuff where I'm pissed and you literally just, I can't let you. You're not like getting your key in the door or something when you're really pissed.
Yeah, like, yeah.
For fuck's sake.
Or just trying to get up the stairs.
Yeah, good point. But Brian goes like full fucking, you know, Arnie, and he just screams. Like he's just like in triumph and runs out. Heads out to the fucking grabber, and you know, he's kind of like, you know, you want some of this? You know, obviously, he's lighting it. He's pumping his fucking water gun, and you're like, what, you know, what's gonna happen? And then the fucking light, just like the grabber turns around, spots him, and he realizes the light, the fuse has just gone out.
Yeah.
So he can't even use his fucking water gun. It's great. O'Shea has to run out and grab him and pull him back in. But they go back inside and they realize that the alcohol is starting to run out. O'Shea kind of tries to make an announcement to the bar, but no, everyone's like really pissed. So no one's like listening. Mm-hmm. And Lisa kind of makes this offhanded comment, you know, they're kind of, you know, what's going on? And Lisa like, oh, it's nothing to worry about. Nothing's trying to kill you. So everyone's like, wait, what? Like, is something trying to kill us? Like, because I think you should tell us, to be honest with you. I mean, I'd be the same. I'm like, can you tell me if something's trying to kill me? But this is the bit where Adam turns around and he's like, you know, just screams at the top of his voice. And he's like, we need more alcohol.
Yeah.
It's fucking class. And he fucks off outside. O'Shea and Lisa, they obviously like go outside. And basically what he's trying to do, he's trying to get a photo with the grabber. Because he's like, you know, it must be a document. And this, I remember the first time I watched this next bit. And this was like, me and Trav watched it. And I was literally like, I couldn't breathe. This bit that made me laugh so much. He's walking over, right? And he's got like this camera. He's like, you know, I need to get a picture with it. And it's like, what, are you getting a fucking selfie now? Like, what's going on here? So he's walking over and he's like, it's okay. It's just an animal. He gets over to, you know, this fucking grabber's like staring at him. Like, you know.
Yeah, even the grabber's like, what the fuck are you doing, mate?
Oh yeah, and I think the grabber kind of like tests the waters, because it puts like a tentacle around him and then it takes his tentacle off because I think it realizes he's pissed. So it's like, nah, fuck that, I'm not eating you. So it just fucking launches him.
It's like in fucking Pokemon when Jesse and James get blasted in the air.
It is one of the so he gets launched and it's this shot where there's like, and it literally, like, the music dies right down. So it's just like, and then he's like, kind of, it's like the moon's in the sky or something, isn't it? He's kind of like silhouetted against the moon.
Yeah.
As he's like flying away. And his limbs are like flailing about. And he just looks like some sort of rag. It's the funniest fucking shit I've ever seen. And with the music as well. Because like, it's like, just as he gets over like the crest of the moon, it's like, and it's like, this is fucking comedy genius. I was fucking howling. Every time I watch it, it still makes me laugh. But it's just when you see him like flapping about. Like he is dead, that man. That man is
yeah,
dead.
Yeah, you don't survive that.
Like he was dead as soon as that thing flung him, and look at him, like he's flopping about like a fucking video game, like ragdoll. Oh my god.
Oh, what a horrible way to go.
It's great. It's great because he has like this moment just before it where it like touches him and then it lets him go, and he kind of looks at Lisa and O'Shea and he's like, you see, it's just an animal. And then he just instantly gets launched. Yeah.
It's like the fucking grabber's offended. Like, just a fucking animal, am I?
Yeah. It'd be funny if that was actually the case. Like, it was that intelligent. It was like, wait a minute. You're offending me here, mate. But the grabber begins to, like, attack the bar now. And the kid, the little kid fucking grabbers are getting in. And all the people in the bar, they run away and lock themselves in the kitchen. And, you know, O'Shea's kind of like trying to calm them down. And this next scene is another fucking bit that made me laugh as well. Because you can hear like something banging. It sounds like something's like thumping on the door or something. And then you see Brian, the bartender, and he looks out. And I think it's O'Shea that comes over to him and, you know, he's like, what's going on? And Brian's like, oh, it's swinging one of Tommy Raiden's sheep against the door. I'm sorry, what? What did you say? It's like, that fucking sheep's in bits out there. It's just like, when you hear it, you're like, that's fucking hilarious. It's funny as well that they reference the person who it is. It's like, well, it's one of Tommy Raiden's sheep, that is. Like, yeah. Everyone's so acquainted with the sheep. They're like, it's one of Tommy Raiden's, that is. That's fucking Bob the Sheep, that is. Well, not anymore, he's fucked. So they kind of realize, you know, that they're beginning to sober up, you know, so they have to think of something to do. But what they decide to do is to get a grabber to grab the grabber, which is hilarious. They need to get the crane from the construction site, and they're going to, like, I think they said they're going to, like, scoop up the grabber and, like, pin him somewhere.
Yeah.
So that they can hold off until to the rain stop. So they have to, what they have to do is they have to get the keys for the car to get, you know, obviously to get to the construction site. The only person that's still drunk enough is Lisa.
Yeah. So, you know, but it's the fucking priest that, like, suggests. It's like, she should go. She's the drunkest. Like, you're a priest.
Yeah, I think that's the joke. Like, you horrible cunt.
Yeah. Because like, somebody goes, flop. Like, Paddy, you go. And he's just like, feck off.
Yeah, no, he's just like, no, I'm definitely not going. No.
Because O'Shea's doing, like, the whole typical, like, no, no, she can't go. I won't allow it. And then Lisa's doing the whole, you know, like, oh, it has to be me. I'm the only one wankered enough to do it.
Yeah, yeah. So she has to make her way through, like, the bar. And we get a literal, like, Gremlins reference now. The baby grabbers are, like, doing all the things that the Gremlins are doing in the bar scene. There's even one, like, on the fucking light, like, swinging around. It's pretty well done, to be fair, like, as references go. It is quite funny seeing these, like, little slug things, like, just, like, pissing around. They're literally just, like, doing backflips and stuff. So Lisa kills a couple of them, you know, on the way out. And I think she gets the keys, like, just as the big grabber, like, comes in, like, finally gets in. And
she picks up the homebrew from somewhere at some point as well, doesn't she? I swear she, like, finds it on the floor. Before she leaves the bar.
Yeah, she probably does. Yeah, I think I might have missed that. They end up actually accidentally shooting the fuse box or something, doesn't she? She sets a fire. I can't remember what she shoots it with.
Yeah, doesn't she? I think she's got the nail gun, hasn't she?
That's it.
So O'Shea gives it to her because he's like, well, if you're going to go, you know, like, take this with you.
Yeah.
So yeah, because she, like, takes it and then almost accidentally, like, fucking shoots somebody with it in the head. And she's like, oh. Oops.
Yeah.
And then on the way down the stairs, she, like, fucking slips, and they're all looking at, like, this is our only chance of survival.
Yeah. She ends up accidentally shooting the fuse box with the nail gun, which starts to fire. You know, she is obviously downstairs. The rest of them are stuck upstairs. They realize the place is on fire. So I think O'Shea heads out the window to look for Lisa, and she shows up with the car. She's obviously got out and got to the car. You know, and O'Shea jumps in kind of just in time. The grabbers come in and they kind of like drive to the construction site now, I think. And the grabber just follows them.
Yeah.
Just like, right, I'm having you. So they get to the construction site and O'Shea, you know, he kind of heads off the grabber while Lisa gets the crane. And O'Shea kind of tries to lure the grabber to like these like explosive barrels to shoot them with a flare. And he has to kind of jump over this. Well, there's like this kind of like broken like ledge kind of bit in there. And he jumps over to the side, and while he's over there, he obviously thinks, like, you know, this thing's kind of, like, stupid enough to come over and fall down. But this grabber just, like, stops. It's just like, well, I can see there's a hole there, so no. And the grabber literally just, like, spits at him and pulls him off. Like, it's like, I've got tentacles and shit, mate. Like, I don't need to come over.
I wish it said that. I've got tentacles and shit, mate.
So O'Shea kind of falls down and he, you know, he kind of almost sacrifices himself. He's kind of just like, well, I'm going to die anyway, so I better shoot these, you know, these barrels. And just as it happens, you know, we get an Aliens reference because Lisa shows up with the crane and she's like, I think she says, get away from him, you cow, which is great. It's like, wow. We made the alien
earned, British, yeah.
Or Irish even. Get away from her, you cow. So she pushes it down the ledge and kind of like it gets pinned because the crane kind of comes off the ledge with it, pins it to the ground. They get out, you know, the things are mobilized now. So they're like, you know, everything's fine. And they climb up and Lisa offers O'Shea the homebrew. Like you said, she grabbed it. And just before O'Shea is going to take a drink, he gets grabbed by a tentacle, but he takes the homebrew, you know, off over with him. And he's kind of like getting held above the grabber, you know, obviously about to be eaten. And what he does is he pours the homebrew in its mouth, which the grabber kind of throws him away because obviously it's like, fuck, I'm going to die. It's funny because O'Shea gets up and he's like, oh, he couldn't handle his drink. Like, ha.
I don't think anyone could handle that beverage.
No, but well. The rest of them didn't die from it.
I'd die from it.
Yeah, probably. But, like, to make sure that, you know, the fucking thing's dead, Lisa grabs the flare gun. And the grabber kind of does, like, one last scream. And Lisa kind of turns around. She's like, ah, shut your hole. And then just shoots the explosive barrels. And I was like, wow.
Yeah.
What an Irish one-liner. So the grabber obviously burns and, you know, the day is saved. The next morning, like, Paddy and Brian are kind of, like, bonding now. They're like,
I love this little moment. I thought this was great.
Because they're kind of, like, bickering through the whole film, aren't they?
Yeah.
And then right at the end, they're just like, oh, do you fancy a drink? And they both kind of just piss themselves because they're like, you know, obviously pissing around with each other. And then I think they go in and probably do have a drink as well. Lisa and O'Shea kind of have, like, you know, their last, like, little moment here. I think O'Shea, his arc kind of completes, and he throws he's got a flask that he drinks.
Yeah, it's like throughout the film, and then, like, Lisa, like, hands it to him.
Yeah.
And he just, like, throws it away.
Yeah, and he kind of makes a joke where he's like, oh, no, I shouldn't have done
that. I shouldn't have done that. It's like, I'm just taking the piss, yeah.
Do you know what? And they kind of, like, you know, have a kiss, which was obviously coming at some point during the film. And the one thing that made me love this film even more was that when they're walking away, O'Shea is like, I think we should go and get Jim's dog. Like, she'll be missing her dad. And it's like, oh, they even remembered about the dog. So I was like, yeah, Jim's got a dog. So it's like, they're even going to go and save the dog. Great. Hopefully he's not. Hopefully a grabber didn't get to him.
Yeah, imagine that was just a horrible end credit scene. Like, oh, dog's dead. End.
And then, you know, you get kind of like a last shot where it's, you know, the beach, and it shows you kind of the remaining eggs.
Yeah.
That Taddy had found earlier. And, you know, they kind of do the whole they're about to hatch thing.
Yep.
And then it ends.
Setting up Grabbers 2.
Yeah.
Electric Grabaloo.
Oh my god.
Well, that was Grabbers.
It was indeed.
Do you want to go ahead and do your ratings?
So as a film, I'm going to give it a solid 4.5 out of 5.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I think it knows exactly what it is, and I think it does everything. It's not breaking any fucking boundaries. It's not doing anything, you know, special. It's kind of like, you know, the plot line is the Ronnie Emil monster movie. It's just got so much, like, charm behind it. It's like this Irish thing that's behind it. There's something about it. I think it's, you know, it's shot really well. The acting's really good. And the comedy kind of carries the film. Obviously, you know, like you said, it's more of a comedy than it is a horror film. But then again, it's got some really good horror moments in there as well, like really eerie moments. Yeah, I really liked it. I mean, fun factor, it's 5 out of 5 by far. The only reason that I wouldn't give it a 4.5, a 5 out of 5, you know, as a film, would be that it's just, like, again, like, it is, the plot is very, it's nothing special. Like,
yeah.
You know, if you're going into it for, like, something cool and new, it's not. It's kind of like almost, you know, in a sense, a throwback to, you know, films like Gremlins and stuff like that, where it's, you know, it's kind of more about, you know, the spectacle and the comedy and the jokes. And, you know, like, even, you know, Gremlins didn't take itself too seriously. This really doesn't take itself too seriously. But yeah. Yeah. I love this film.
Fair enough. Fair enough. You might be a tad disappointed with my ratings then, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So, as a film, I'm going to give it 3.5. It's a decent little film. I think for the sort of film it is, that I touched upon earlier, the CGI is pretty good.
Yeah.
As you were saying, I've seen, you know, like, big $200 million budget CGI fests that look worse or just on par with this. Yeah, there is bits I do like in the film. I didn't find it as laugh out loud as you seem to have found it, but
oh, I think it's hilarious.
I did watch it on my own, so maybe that's why some of the comedy bits didn't land with me as much.
Right.
I think my favorite bits were the more horror-y elements, like the cold open bit.
See, I was saying this with Charlotte, because Charlotte was saying to me, you know, oh, what do you think Richard's going to rate it? And I generally turned around, I was like, I think it's going to be too happy for Richard. I was like, I don't think this film's bleak enough, like,
for Richard. Well, that says a lot about me as a fucking person then, doesn't it? This film's too fucking happy.
Yeah.
Why can't more people die?
I could hear you saying that, like, quote for quote. I mean, I could probably hear myself saying that, quote for quote, but I could definitely hear you saying that. This fucking film's too happy. I'm not having this. This is ridiculous. Why is he whistling?
Yeah,
this is a documentary, Richard. I don't know why he was whistling. He was just in the background. Well, fuck him.
Can he die? Can he die horribly?
I mean, he could. I don't know if he will.
Yeah, 3.5 as a film, and then a fun factor. I'll go for a 3. It was all right. I thought that was the sound of you storming away. Then
it will be. I'll glass you next time I see you.
I mean, I'd watch it again. If I was to watch it again, I probably would rather watch it with people.
Yeah.
I'm not sure it's a solo film.
Yeah, I'm the opposite. I could watch this like on repeat.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah, I don't want to say that I didn't like it. I did enjoy it.
Yeah.
I was never bored watching it, but I was never just like, no, this is good.
Yeah. Probably not enough people like sawing their own heads off.
Yeah, probably yeah. Not enough cult members, not enough cult members.
The ending didn't have enough beheadings. Well, I mean, it had a fair few, yeah, but not enough.
I mean, this is just going to sound worse, but I was about to say one of my other favourite parts were all the beheadings.
There you go. Yeah.
Oh, good God. I think I need help.
Probably. I was saying this to Charlotte, is that I think I'm getting softer in my old age.
Not
like,
really.
I seem to like when it ends a little bit happier now than I used to. Like, sometimes when everyone dies now, I'm just like, oh, well, wonderful. We're all dead again. Or like the demon wins. It's like, oh, we're all doomed. And it's kind of like...
But yeah, I definitely say it's worth a watch. Well, yeah, you definitely...
Listen...
Nobody listens to either of us, cunts.
True. Good point. But, nah, it's a fun, fun film.
If I was going to compare it to, say, something like Sightseers, you know, I think personally I'd say, like, Sightseers is, you know, much better. But I think this would appeal to more people.
Right, yeah.
Whereas, I think, you know, like, Sightseers definitely has its audience. I think this is the sort of film anybody would get behind.
Yeah, yeah.
I can see any reason for anybody to dislike this film.
No, I could see it not being their thing. Like, you know, with some of the horror elements are pretty worse than your standard run-of-the-mill, you know, like PG-13 fucking horror films, you know what I mean? You know, there's some pretty eerie stuff in this.
Yeah, yeah, it's a decent little film. I'd say if you can find it, you know, check it out.
I suppose the thing about like that and Sightseers is they're different beasts.
Oh, definitely, you know, definitely.
You know what I mean? Whereas, like, I think, you know, Sightseers did, like I said, everything... See, this is probably why that's probably a good way of describing my point, because, like, you know, as a film, you know, 4.5 out of 5, I forget, I gave Sightseers 5 out of 5, I think, didn't I?
Yeah.
And the only reason I took, you know, half off this is because it's, you know, the plot's run of the mill. It's doing what a lot of other films have done before it, but I think it's doing it in such a, like, a charming, fun way. You know, with these like horrific monsters, whereas, you know, you've got these a load of Irish people around you, which is, I mean, I think I'd rather have that in like when Lovecraftian monsters are coming through. Whereas, so it like for this film, it does exactly what it wants to do.
Yeah, definitely, and, definitely. Yeah,
you know, it knows its limits and it knows what it's going for. And obviously, like you said, it's not going for fucking full on horror. You know, like real grim stuff. It's got enough in there for, you know, horror fans. It's got enough in there for comedy fans as well, who aren't very horror orientated. Do you know what I mean? Like,
oh, like, yeah, definitely. You wouldn't need to be a horror fan to like this film.
No, but I see why it would draw in horror fans, though.
Yeah, yeah. It definitely appeals to both sides. It appeals to the comedy fans and the non. I wouldn't say like something like Motel Hell would appeal to comedy fans. That is a comedy for horror fans, whereas exactly, this is just a comedy for anyone.
Yeah, but yeah, so like I said, you know, Sightseers, I'd say the same thing. You know, Sightseers did everything that it should have as a film, and I think this film did, and it just wasn't, you know, as original as, you know, a film like Sightseers is. But for this film what it is, I'd say it does... You know, this is why I rate it so highly. I'd say it does everything that, you know, it says on the tin.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Yeah, yeah, it's nothing new, but it does have its own little unique spin on it.
Yeah, but, you know, obviously, you know, that's why, obviously in the fun factor way, that's, you know, that's opinion completely with me and you.
Yeah.
Which is cool. I'll kill you for it, but it's all good. that, ladies and gentlemen, we're gonna have a new host on the Radio Nasties podcast.
We'll see about that. Your pick next week. So this is where you pick something fucking awful now to make up for it. Oh, didn't like Grabbers, did you? Well, wait till you fucking see this. Zombies 2.
Yeah, you didn't like Grabbers, but you liked the CGI. Well, I've got something for you, you cunt.
Oh, dear God. I should have lied. Like, yeah, this is great. Groove everything you say.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Do you know what you're picking next week?
No, not yet. Okay. I don't think that far ahead, so it will be a surprise.
That's the difference between me and you. I've already got all mine picked.
Yeah, see, no, that mine will be mine will be on the day. I'll do it on the night.
Oh, brilliant. Brilliant. Well, we've got that to look forward to next week then. Or maybe we don't. Who knows?
Who knows? Who knows? Maybe it'll be Grabbers again. Like, you've got to watch it again.
You're going to watch it every week until you like it. It's 5 out of 5. Please turn it off. Please.
No, you like it now, so you don't need it off.
Yeah, we can watch it over and over again. I wish I was dead.
I can sort that for you. That's all you had to say.
Right. I guess we'll see you next week then. Bye-bye.
Yes. Goodbye. Alcohol!